Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. All right. All righty. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is the first day of spring, folks, and it doesn't feel like it, at least not in the city of Chicago. It doesn't feel like spring, but it's not that bad. It doesn't feel like winter either, but maybe fall or something. But this is the first day of spring, and it's Monday, March the 20th. In case you don't know, once you realize when you podcast a show, you know, so, you know that this is live March 20th, first day of spring. And that's beautiful. But from my standpoint, folks, I really don't think winter is quite done with the city of Chicago. I really don't, because the winter has been so mild. It felt like spring in some cases during some of the past winter months in the city of Chicago. And I have a feeling that winter hasn't quite been winter here, and so far, and therefore, it is still with us. The calendar is just saying spring, but I do think we're in for some more horrible weather, because winter hasn't been winter. And a lot of people are saying, well, Chicago has skipped winter. Winter has passed us by. I don't think so. I really don't think so. I was pretty correct a few months ago when I said we were going to have a mild winter, because we had a great summer, 2016. We had a great summer. So I was on the radio almost every day that we was having this great summer, sunshine everywhere, butterflies, birds singing. It was just, the weather was just so damn great for the city of Chicago in 2016. And I would get on the radio, as I've just got through saying, and I would say, you know, it's going to be a mild winter. It's going to be a mild winter. And when winter finally came, we've There were a few hiccups, but basically it was totally a mild winter. So I'm thinking that we basically gotten away with a mild winter, even though there were more hiccups. When I say hiccups, I mean there was a blizzard here and a snowstorm there, but nothing significant as to say we had a full-blown winter in the city of Chicago. And I don't think it's over, even though it's spring now, by what the calendar is saying. I do think there's going to be some more hiccups along the way. However, the weather forecasters are saying for the city of Chicago is going to be almost 70 degrees come this weekend. Well, that's remained to be seen, but, you know, it's still out of character, kind of, for late March or the first day of spring or whatever, or spring in general. But we just have to see. I'm not complaining about the good weather. I love it. I think it's great. But, you know, I'm just saying I don't think winter is over yet in the city of Chicago. Maybe it is. I don't know. But who knows? All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We just got here, folks, at 6:05 p.m. straight up Chicago time. Daylight savings time means that it is still light outside, at least in this town, which is great. I love daylight savings times. I mean, you get to be outside a little bit longer, get to enjoy your family, friends, or just, you know, just mulling around doing nothing. It's beautiful out here. It's great. But like I said before, Chicago is being set up for the kill. I think we're going to get a really, really nasty blizzard. We just had one, I believe around a week or 2 weeks ago. And basically all the snow has been melted so far. So wherever you are in the world, I'm hoping you're enjoying yourself and you're having great weather. You know, if not, then keep yourself warm and bundle up and all that good stuff. We don't want to see you sick. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here. And where else are we? Google Plus, Instagram, or what? Where else? But one of the things I do know, if you're looking for me online, there is no, it's not hard to do. You know, it's not hard to do. All right. So what are we going to talk about today? Donald Trump, as if I didn't know, right? Donald Trump. I mean, there are people talking on Capitol Hill right now. There are hearings, and some of the hearings have come to an end. Of course, every Donald Trump hater out there is so glad. I mean, they are so glad. They're vomiting in their own puke that this man is now being investigated for Russian ties into the 2016 election. There's no doubt about it. There are some Russian ties there. You know, there are some Russian ties, especially with the people around him. There are some Russian ties there. And also, has one of the other things that has been debunked by the FBI director, James Comey, I'm pretty sure you've heard of it. He's saying that there has been absolutely no wiretap of Obama. Obama did not tap Trump wires, as he tweeted it out. He has a way of putting words, but that was the way he put it. So they're saying there was no Trump couldn't supply any evidence. His team couldn't supply any evidence because there was none. And now Trump is saying that the FBI is crazy. Comey is crazy. That's not true. I mean, what makes Donald Trump such an expert on things he knows nothing about is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. There is no doubt that Donald Trump is hiding something because he's still trying to deflect, change the narrative of what's going on at the present. He thinks that we should be, instead of probing him and his staff on Russian ties and trying to get evidence out of him for saying Obama tapped his wires, he's basically saying, why don't we just look into the links, to the, not the links, but the leaks And this is just deflect. I mean, anytime you deflect or try to change the narrative as much as this Trump administration has, you just tell yourself there is something these people are trying to hide. Totally trying to hide. But right now, this investigation, from what I'm hearing, this investigation of Donald Trump is going to be years and years before it's done. I don't see why. I guess they want to be thorough, but still and all, that's a long time. But if this investigation takes 2 or 3 years to run, that Donald Trump's administration will be in peril. There will be nothing that this guy can do without the reporters asking him about the wiretapping, the false wiretapping, and the Russian probe. He won't be able to turn anywhere. He will not be able to get anything legislatively done because people are going to be questioning him all the time about this thing. And he's going to be sending out his surrogates, which they know absolutely nothing, but they're going to do their best to try to lie for their boss, as they've always been doing. But James Comey was kept over from Obama administration into the Trump administration. So this Department of Justice, this is under Donald Trump. This is Donald Trump's FBI man right now, James Comey, the head of the DOJ, who is saying this about his boss. His boss. And like I said before, folks, this is going to be, this is a bombshell. This is a bombshell. We all knew Trump was lying about wiretapping. We all knew it, because if you're going to say something about as explosive as Obama tapping your wires, you better have some proof, some evidence. You just don't come up and say something like that. And a lot of us are saying that Obama should probably sue Trump. Sue him. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, because Obama is such a statesman, an upstanding guy. But still in all, I do think that there is a lawsuit that should be sought after this. For, I mean, if somebody lied on me like that, I would think it was just a defamation of character. And I was totally find out if I can sue. I understand if Obama sued Trump, he's not suing for the money. He's suing for the principle of the thing. He's suing for just to clear his name, because there's no doubt about it. The Republicans are trying to smear his legacy, and they're doing a good job of it if he don't come out and defend himself and, you know, get some sort of repercussions from this guy stating that he tapped his wires. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a break right here, folks. We should be right back. We had a caller, but somehow he or she left. All right.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, son. That's my son, Denver Wilder. And he's doing a good job. He's somewhere now. I don't know. But he's a great kid. All right. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. You are now on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, hello. This is author Sunshine Sims. How are you?
I wasn't expecting you until 6:30, but that's all right. Go right ahead.
Oh, what time is it? My time is 7:13.
I've got 6:13. You're screwing up the. I think you've mistaken your time zone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm an hour earlier than your time zone.
Oh, okay. Well, I totally apologize. I can come back at 6:30 if you like.
Can you do that for me?
Sure, we'll do.
All righty. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a break right here. Sunshine Sims will be, she'll be back at 6:30, folks, so don't go anywhere, all right? Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio.
The George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times, is now on the air. Welcome, everybody.
Donald Trump is a con man. That is basically the easiest way to describe Donald Trump, the human being. And a lot of people knew
him into one conspiracy theory of what he calls a silent coup going on by the intelligence community and former Obama administration officials. Here are the three chunks. One, leaks from the intelligence community calling out Trump administration officials for giving out inaccurate information about their contacts with the Russians and other stories. Two, news reports that the FBI is investigating possible contacts between Trump campaign advisors and Russians. And three, unconfirmed reports in the British press that the FBI may have sought FISA warrants to monitor Trump campaign communications. Now, those reports say nothing about President Obama being personally involved, nor do they say wiretapping was ever approved on Mr. Trump himself. Now, here's a rather amazing detail. It actually does not appear that any of these conservative outlets reported as fact what President Trump is now claiming, that, quote, Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Levin has asked the question as to whether the president is behind the leaks and the surveillance, but when he was directly asked by Fox News if former President Obama was directly involved in any of this, Levin said this.
I'm not Nostradamus here. I just think that we ought to find out. But I will tell you this. He's more involved than he says.
Now, it would be bad enough if the president valued the conjecture and accusations of these sources more than the facts that he has access to more than any other person in the world. But it's actually worse than that. President Trump took what Levin and others were saying and made it even less tethered to fact. With conjecture and venom, they alleged a conspiracy. He took it one step further and said it happened and President Obama was behind it. And as we've reported, the FBI director is incredulous at this charge and says it's completely false. Now, are there legitimate reasons to question why all these leaks and what are the motivations for them? Absolutely. But that's now a separate issue. This is about whether President Obama wiretapped President Trump. And the FBI director says it's false. Now, keep in mind, one not irrelevant detail here for anyone out there trying to make sense of this all. We've been here before, and this is not a land with much sense or respect for facts. This is a place of conspiracy theories, untethered to facts. And these theories are voiced by President Trump. It's Barack Obama faked his birth certificate because he was born in Africa. False. Thousands of New Jersey Muslims were on TV celebrating 9/11. False. Ted Cruz's father had something to do with Lee Harvey Oswald. False. Vaccines cause autism. False. There was something fishy about the deaths of Justice Scalia or Vince Foster. False. False. Inaugural crowd sizes, 3 to 5 million illegal votes. It goes on and on. None of it's true. And the people around President Trump who are enabling this nonsense, the ones who know better, you have to ask yourself this question. Are you really serving the president? Are you really serving the American people? President Trump's administration introduced his updated travel ban today after pausing to consult Congress and his own cabinet on the rewrite in hopes that the implementation of this new order would be smoother. CNN senior diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kaczynski is live for us at the State Department. And Michelle, the president once said that if a judge delayed implementing the ban, any deaths as a result of terrorism would be on the judge's hands. But that sense of urgency seems to have given way to a more deliberate process.
Yeah, I mean, administration officials, too, were asked that question many times. We did finally get a response from the White House press secretary who said that the element of surprise against those who would want to do this country harm was eliminated after the rollout and then putting on hold of the first travel ban anyway. So it's not really something that they needed to deal with this time around. But keep in mind, this is still a travel ban based on national origin. It was rolled out as kind of a kinder, gentler travel ban, but there's still going to be those questions, serious questions that linger over whether this is even urgent or necessary. The Trump administration's travel ban do-over. Today presented by the Attorney General, Department of Homeland Security, and Secretary of State.
To our allies and partners around the world, please understand this order is part of our ongoing efforts to eliminate vulnerabilities that radical Islamist terrorists can and will exploit for destructive ends.
The signing taking place in private, away from reporters. Only an official photo released. Quite the difference from the big ceremony for the first botched rollout in January in the Pentagon's Hall of Heroes. The new 90-day ban includes six Muslim-majority countries, not seven. Iraq is off the list. This after intense lobbying by the Iraqi government, the U.S.'s crucial partner against ISIS. The Trump administration says Iraq is working with the U.S. to implement new security measures. Though at this point, CNN sources say nothing has changed in procedure, just better communication of what measures are already in place. Among other tweaks to the original travel ban, it now spells out clearly that if you have a green card or visa, you can travel to the U.S. Officials can allow others in, too, on a case-by-case basis. For refugees, Syrians are no longer banned indefinitely. And the new order removes language that seemed to allow preferential treatment to Christians. The refugee program will still be on hold for 120 days, and the total number of refugees for this fiscal year is capped at 50,000 instead of the 110,000 the Obama administration had raised it to.
This executive order responsibly provides a needed pause. We can carefully review how we scrutinize people coming here from these countries of concern.
This time, though, the administration is making an attempt to back up the need for this order, saying 300 refugees admitted to the U.S. are currently under investigation by the FBI for potential terrorist activity. But officials refuse to say what countries those refugees are from, or even if any are from the six named. And a recent Homeland Security assessment showed that most foreign-born extremists in the U.S. were radicalized here and years after they arrived.
This new executive order suffers from the same problem as the previous one, which there is no real evidence that there's a security threat from people from these countries who have entered the U.S.
It is remarkable to go back after the first rollout of that initial travel ban and look what President Trump had said and tweeted. I mean, he said that he wanted to wait before that rushed rollout, but his advisors were telling him they couldn't even wait a week because all of these, quote, bad dudes would rush into America. And to your point, Jake, now the administration seems less concerned, far less concerned about that. This ban now doesn't go into effect for 10 days, and this is weeks after the initial ban was halted in the courts. Jake?
And also they have the interagency process. And they briefed members of Congress, et cetera. Michelle Kaczynski, thank you so much. President Trump's latest explosive charge is roiling Capitol Hill. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff of California joins me, and I'll talk more about it. He's the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. Congressman, thanks for joining me as always. I want to get to the travel ban in a second, but first, about this explosive and evidence-free charge that President Trump has put forward. You're on the Intelligence Committee. Do you know of any wiretaps or surveillance of President Trump or...
Ah!
Okay. I love that little laugh. I just love it. All right. FBI Trump exposed as hopeless conspiracy theorist by basically everyone who matters. Totally. And plus, as I've tried to mention earlier, Russia investigation is underway of this administration. You know, and Trump is trying once again, as I've mentioned, to change the narrative. he wants to change our thinking. I mean, changing the narrative is something that this administration does. And only when someone tries to change the narrative or deflect from what is currently being talked about, you know, there's something that they're hiding. And the Russian investigation is underway. So, like I said before, folks, it might take years until this investigation is finally done with. But in either case, this is going to mar the Trump administration. I mean, he's not going to be able to talk about anything, get nothing done, or any of that stuff, because he's going to be constantly questioned about this. And they are trying to cover their asses as I speak. You know, Spicer, Kellyanne Conway, Flynn, a lot of these other people, a lot of these folks that he has appointed to some of these cabinet posts around the country. Some of these folks like Ben Carson and Betty DeVos, a lot of these folks who are not qualified for some of these positions, you know. And they even have said it. I mean, Ben Carson, give me a break. DeVos, she wants to destroy and uplift public education. And I've said this before, a lot of these people that Trump have put in these vital positions are there to do one thing. They are there to either cut the living daylights out of those programs or to eliminate them altogether. Trump is still trying to find money to build that $1 billion plus wall. Country's weak. He's opening this country up to terrorism, and a lot of these people here are stupid. So that's what we have to look forward to. And a lot of people are saying, hey, finally going to get him. We're going to get him. Do not jump for joy. Do not clap because this is very, very serious. What Trump does and what Trump says, he may not know this, but he represents America. And a lot of people are embarrassed by Trump. Of course, his approval ratings have gone down to the ground. And just a couple of weeks ago, people were saying how what a great speech he was giving. Right now, that's all gone. I mean, that's gone with the wind. That was gone with the wind when he lied on Obama about being wiretapped by a former president. And a lot of people are saying he should apologize. He ought to apologize. Trump is not going to apologize. He's going to wallow in his whatever he wallows in. He's not going to apologize. He's never going to do that. He's going to come back strong. He's going to come back strong and try to change the narrative again, with all these cuts that he's trying to produce. He wants to produce. And I tell people, I say, hey, wow, do not get, especially older Americans, do not become too afraid, because these proposals are just proposals. I mean, he's got to get through Congress with this. You know, he's hurting children. He's hurting the disabled, the mentally ill. He's hurting seniors. He's hurting those people who have put his ass in office, who voted for him. Trump doesn't care. He doesn't give an F about anything. He wants to get money to build a goddamn wall. And he, during his campaign, all through his campaign, he was saying Mexico was going to pay for this. No. If there is a wall, you and I are going to pay for it. if there is a wall, and I'm sort of on the fence of saying there may not be a wall, simply because there is so much Trump is going through now. So he has to focus on this investigation and try to, you know, lie his way out of it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Let's see.
Sims, Sunshine Sims. I can hear myself. Maybe you should cut your radio down.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Welcome back.
How are you?
I'm fine. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sunshine Sims, author. Are you an author, right? Sunshine Sims
on
the George Wilder Jr. Show. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Give us a small bio and what can you, you know, I mean, tell us a little bit something about yourself.
Well, I'm, as you said, an author. I'm a mother of four, a wife. I'm a Kingdom publisher. I like to write. I like to read.
Good.
I like poetry. So I'm well-versed in different things. I wear many hats.
Okay, you're author, poet, life coach, motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing. Tell us about your book.
Well, I wrote the book called Through the Eyes of Miss T's Daughter, and it's about breaking a cycle of abuse. And it touches on many aspects of abuse, you know, such as child abuse, drug abuse, domestic violence, you know, educational abuse, financial abuse, again, many aspects of abuse. And it's about breaking that cycle that sometimes is deeply rooted from generation to generation. So even generational abuse.
Oh, okay. Great. Have you, you've written this book. Have your experience, some of your experiences, are they incorporated in this book?
Tidbits, you could say, it's mainly Miss T, T's life, and so again, it's through Miss T's daughter's eyes. So whatever Miss T's daughter seen about Miss T, she wrote down, and that's what she, you know, that's what the book is about.
Is it fiction or nonfiction?
It's fiction. Nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
novel based on real life episode.
So it's a little bit of fiction based on some real life things that have gone on in real life. Great.
Exactly.
Okay. Is this your first book, your second book, your third book?
It's my first book. Yes, my first book.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very
Congratulations.
Much.
Congratulations. No problem. Are you, will you be writing another book? Are you working on the second one or?
You know what? I actually just published my second, it's a mini book because it's a compilation of poems, but it's actually about my how I got to meet my husband and stuff like that. So usually my stories, like I said about my first book, is a novel based on real life episodes. It's pretty much most of them. Sometimes they're not exactly about me. Well, I only have two, but I pretty much put myself in like third person, fourth person, or I'm connected with the person that I'm writing about. So it still has some, you know, it's still pertinent to my life.
Oh, wow. Sounds great. Sounds like a beautiful book, because you're talking about all these subjects that you just mentioned. You're trying to help those out there who are in those type of situations, such as domestic abuse, child abuse, you know, just abuse in general.
Correct. Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's very important that we continue to empower the communities, you know, that we touch on, because I love to travel. I have travel book syndrome, and so I think it's important that we continue to remember those things and continue to bring awareness, and not just stranger danger, but you know, because a lot of the statistics show that the things that go on is with people we know. You know, date rape is not just meeting someone in a bar that's a stranger. It's someone that you know that usually does this, you know. So continue to bring awareness about that and, you know, help the kids that's on campuses and you know, enlighten their minds and open up their minds and empower the parents to know that you can protect your children and you can talk to your children and you can develop a relationship. And you, and for all of those people who didn't like what was done to them, whatever it was, you do not have to grow up and do the same thing to your children or your family members or your spouse or your friends, the same thing you did not like happening to you.
Whatever I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree. Sex trafficking is out here in your face. I mean, it's everywhere. And a lot of young ladies are trying to get out of it, but they can't seem to find a way out of it. And then you got some young ladies out here who seems as if they do not want to get out of it. It's just part of their lives now.
That's all they know.
And that's all they know. It's a part of their lives. And, you know, and how would you motivate somebody who want to leave that kind of life to get out of that and better themselves?
I would motivate them by encourage. Well, once they know that they want to get off this hamster wheel of pain, hurt, and suffering, then they have to know that they are a survivor. And I pretty much will let them know that I'm here to hold their hand. I'm here to, you know, let you know that you, to help remind you what you already know, which is you know that you are a survivor. You can move forward. You can get off this hamster wheel, you know, because we really have the key and the answers to most of our issues. Because a lot of times if we see someone else going through something, we have all the answers of how they should get out that situation, what they need to do, all of this stuff. But when we are in that same situation or similar, we are just baffled, we blinded, we don't know. So my thing and as a life coach is to help them see that they have the keys. And if this, and again, reminding them, you already know these things. You're a survivor. You can do this. If you need to go to get some mental help, go get it. Mental health, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't think it's a stigma, because your story can empower and encourage someone else. You never know.
Yes.
So, you know, just reminding them of the outlets that they do have. They can join groups or whatever the case may be, but just reminding them that they have the keys to moving forward.
They sure do. And a lot of them are afraid to move forward because, you know, they may be in a situation where they may be abused if they try to get out of it, if they try to run away. And a lot of them are afraid. They're scared. And they're just afraid. Some of them even know that there's people out here, agencies out here that can help them, but they still, they're afraid of that guy. They are afraid of the guy who puts them out there. And I just feel I just feel so bad for some of them because I do see them. They're young, they're bright, they're impressionable. And then there's some guy comes along and just takes, just ruins their life. I don't understand.
You're very right about that. It's very sad. You know, it's a very sad case. And again, even though they are scared and they are afraid, you know, that's why it has to come a point where they become sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's the kind of people that I work with and I deal with because it's no use in, I don't know if this is a correct term. I know what I'm trying to say. Maybe you can correct me because I don't want to offend anyone, but beating a dead horse. You know what I'm saying? If you don't want to do it, then you can't do it. Or if the person, you know, like you, if you see a person, people fighting, and then you jump in and try to defend the person who's getting beat up, but then the person turn around and go back to the person that's beating them, it was like, what was the point? You know, so.
That happened to me once.
Wow. Well, I'm glad. Nothing crazy happened.
No, I just left it alone. I said, okay, I learned something today. So, okay.
And you know, that I used to be that person a lot that jumped into relationship issues or, you know, just jump into situations And my husband a lot of time would have to tell me, you know, you don't know the full story. And at the end of the day, even if you did know the story, how does the person feel? Because if at the end of the day, they're going to turn around and go back to what you just now helped them out of, then what good is it? They have to come to a point where they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And once they're there, that's where I come in. And I say, you know what? I want to hold your hand and walk you through this process of whatever you want to do and let you know you have someone in your corner. Because at the end of the
authors,
day, we need each other. Go ahead.
Yeah, we do. I was going to say, author Sunshine Sims on the George Wilder Jr. Show. You sound great. I applaud what you do, because this show is all about making the world a better place. Can you tell us a little bit something about your poetry?
Oh, man. My poetry. my poetic love story that I just have published this February, called Conflicts of My Mind and Heart. It's pretty much, I'm pretty much, you know, deep in love. And the way I write is pretty much, I love to rhyme. I love things. I'm like Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat, a satin mat. So I like to, you know, everything has to flow well and it has to go together. You know, I like to have my readers feel what I'm feeling, whatever the emotion is. I try to convey it through my words. So when the person reads it, they're like, ooh, So that's a little bit of how I can explain my poetry, I guess.
Okay. All righty. Do you have a copy of your book with you? Maybe you can read an excerpt.
Maybe we can, because I don't have it at this current moment in front of me, so I'm trying to get it.
Okay, all right.
But
no problem.
So much, I truly appreciate it. Right. Maybe you can ask me. Let me see here. The question. Okay. Wait 1 second. So, did you want the poetry book or the other book? Ooh.
Whatever you want to do, that's fine.
Okay. Give me.
Ladies and gentlemen, author Sunshine Sims. How did you get a name like Sunshine?
Oh, my husband had given me that name, Sunshine, because he said I always brightened up his day. So I said, you know what? I think Sunshine goes right with Sims. So Sunshine.
Yeah, it's a great name. It's a great name.
Thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. Let me see here. So. So I have here.
Okay.
One of my the confrontation. It's called The Confrontation, and it's Conflicts of My Mind and Heart. Hello. Okay. Is this you? I'm sorry to tell you, but they're here. I know you may not be ready to go there, but I need to know, because this is the confrontation. I've never been the type to fight over another. I know they still come over and sometimes you'll lay together, but I cannot and will not continue in this triangle. And it's whatever, but no, they are here and I want to know. You still want them, or are they free to go? Because it's a confrontation.
All right, that sounds great. Was that the end of it?
Nope, that's not the
Sunshine
end of it.
Sunshine Sims? Oh, okay.
It's not the end of it. Sorry, I was breathing.
Okay.
I know what I want.
No
and
problem.
I'm sure you... It's almost done. I know what I want, and I'm sure you do too. So let me know, and I'll be sure to send them home to you. Even if I feel a certain way, it doesn't matter, because that's what I want to go through. But I refuse to be called the homewrecker, so I'm willing to say I do. And I don't, and I need you to know, I need you to let me know now, because this is a confrontation. So that's the end of that poem.
That's beautiful. And it sounds like it has some of that. It sounds like it has some of what you do incorporated into that poem, like domestic violence, abuse, stuff like that.
Yes, thank you very, very much. Like I said, these are mm-hmm. a compilation of pretty much short poems and short things, mm-hmm. to pretty much just get straight to the point. And I have my other book. Can I read the prologue to that?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Thank you. And so this is Through the Eyes of Miss T's Daughter, just to give you an idea of, what I write, my first book.
Okay.
Born August 28th, 1968. Interesting. Her date is 8/28/68. But born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, to a mother who was nothing but a spoiled alcoholic barren woman and a militarized, hardworking, very supportive, given if circumstances were different, could have been a good father to Miss T, two-timing man. Now, that doesn't mean they weren't nice people or didn't love their daughter, but they had a heck of a lifestyle to begin with, bringing their daughter into. But who really was Miss T's mother and father? The ones there for her? Of course, none other than her eldest sister who loved Marilyn Monroe. That was the one who truly nurtured her, cared for her, and loved Miss T. But the unfortunate thing about that was she was an abused victim herself who didn't know how to truly love anyone, because most who claimed to love her loved her in a perverted way, which caused her to be bitter, angry, passive, and manic depressive, and an alcoholic just like their mother, Miss Rose. Now, the man who Miss T called daddy, the one who was there for her, this one was a loved by many type of man. He was an upstanding guy. He worked his fingers to the bone. He cooked, he cleaned, he watched the children. He even would get beat on by Miss Rose when she was in a drunken rage. But little did everyone know, daddy was a porn-watching child sex abuser. According to Miss T on her dying bed, she said that while Miss Rose would be gone on her drunken bar binges, daddy would invite Miss T into the bedroom to watch porn, then engage in illicit sexual things. Now, let me remind you of the time in which Miss T was about 6 years old, give or take a year or two, but she was a child. And of course, this went on for years. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. I think it, I was into it. That's why you caught me sleeping. So and listening, and I was into it. I was really engrossed in what you were reading, what you were saying. And I want to say, I think you are you're going to be, make it as a writer. Writing stuff like this is just, you're writing things that the world, what the world needs to know, because a lot of people don't know about domestic abuse as much as you do. And by you being a motivational speaker and a life coach, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to learn that you are now in town. Sunshine Sims is in town, is in the house.
Thank you so kindly. I appreciate those words.
No problem. No problem. They are true. They are true. And tell everybody out here where they can find your books, where they can find your poetry, and where if you can give them a website or a blog, that would be great.
Yes, they can find my books at CreateSpace or Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can mm-hmm. also find me at Sunshine Sims. My blog is sunshinesims.com. That's my website where, I have a section. It's called Step Into My Shoe. And I want to, here's an ear, for me to listen. So, and also I am such a Facebook person. Oh my goodness. You can always find me on Facebook at Sunshine Sims, and you can order directly from me, if you don't want to go to Amazon or Create Space, but, I'm also on Facebook, and, I'm open for, questions or whatever. I'm, so www.sunshinesims.com. And that's just the regular sun, S-U-N, shine, S-H-I-N-E, it's all together. And then Sims, S-I-M as in Mary, S. Sunshinesims.com.
All right. All right. Okay. Okay. The show is just about over. I want to know if you would like a link to this show. Maybe you can put it up on your website where people can come by and listen to you on your website or blog on this show. So you'll be recorded, and I can send you this show recorded, and you can put it up and do whatever you want to do with it.
Oh, sure. Of course. Of course. I would love that. Thank you so kindly.
No problem. No problem. I should get it out there to you maybe in a few hours or so. Once this show is processed, I will send it to you. Then you can put it on your blog and click on it. And there you are right there. Okay.
All right. That sounds awesome.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Sunshine Sims, motivational speaker, author, poet, all kinds of things. She's out there to make the world a better place. All right. Thank you for being on the show. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. Here we go. Let's see what we got here. It's 6:50 straight up Chicago time. Let's do this.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
To the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Them into one conspiracy theory of what he calls a silent coup going on by the intelligence community and former Obama administration officials. Here are the three chunks. One, leaks from the intelligence community calling out Trump administration officials for giving out inaccurate information about their contacts with the Russians and other stories. Two, news reports that the FBI is investigating possible contacts between Trump campaign advisors and Russians. And three, unconfirmed reports in the British press that the FBI may have sought FISA warrants to monitor Trump campaign communications. Now, those reports say nothing about President Obama being personally involved, nor do they say wiretapping was ever approved on Mr. Trump himself. Now, here's a rather amazing detail. It actually does not appear that any of these conservative outlets reported as fact what President Trump is now claiming, that, quote, Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Levin has asked the question as to whether the president is behind the leaks and the surveillance, but when he was directly asked by Fox News if former President Obama was directly involved in any of this, Levin said this.
I'm not Nostradamus here. I just think that we ought to find out. But I will tell you this. He's more involved than he says.
Now, it would be bad enough if the president valued the conjecture and accusations of these sources more than the facts that he has access to more than any other person in the world. But it's actually worse than that. President Trump took what Levin and others were saying and made it even less tethered to fact. With conjecture and venom, they alleged a conspiracy. He took it one step further and said it happened and President Obama was behind it. And as we've reported, the FBI director is incredulous at this charge and says it's completely false. Now, are there
folks, they're saying that 2 months in and Trump may already own a first, the most corrupt president of the United States ever, ever. I do know that the guy embarrasses the American people and the United States. There's no doubt about that. Let me see. Yeah, it's saying that 2 months in, Trump may already own a first, the most corrupt president ever. Ethics experts cannot think of a predecessor more ready to use the prestige of the office for personal gain. Of course, he's using the presidency for personal gain. He still has some sort of influence in his business holdings. I mean, he's still making money from his businesses, and that's a no-no according to the Constitution of the United States. But hey, wow, the Republicans, what do they care about the Constitution? Not a damn thing. Trump is in total trouble. This guy is in trouble. I mean, I would not want to be in his shoes right now. Imagine a foreign potentate who uses his official position to promote his private businesses. That's what Trump does. He uses his official position as president of the United States to promote his private businesses, who make FaceTime with visiting dignitaries a perk for his paying customers. The guy is not fit to be president, whose top aide urges United States citizens, to embrace products sold by the sovereigns by Trump's daughter. For 2 months now, Americans have not had to imagine any of this. They have been living it. As President Donald Trump enters his third month in office, we've already established at least one, however dubious, the president most often and willing to use the prestige of the White House to enrich himself and his family. That's what it's all about, folks. Donald Trump is trying to get richer and to get his family to be more rich than what they already are. This is what this guy is. That's all it's about. The Constitution clearly says you cannot be a part of any business, or there's a clause in the Constitution that says that. But like I said before, these guys don't give a damn about the Constitution, you know, and Trump is changing the narrative, trying to deflect. It's just awful that we have to go through this. He is the most corrupt president of the United States ever, ever, ever. And I've said it many times, the guy's just... it's just Trump. It's like the Godfather. He's like the Godfather, Don Corleone, the White House, you know. And it's just awful. This guy is awful. And I do hope former President Obama can sue this guy, sue his balls off. I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but this guy has got to go. I don't think he's going to make it. I really, truly don't think he's going to make it. But this Russia thing is really bad. I mean, it's worse than lying about Obama tapped his wires at one of those buildings, Trump Towers. A lot of those buildings, I'm thinking that a lot of the buildings that supposedly are owned by Trump, they're not. Because they say Trump on it and he owns it. The buildings that be owned by someone else, but they're paying Trump to use his name. And they put Trump Tower on a building that Trump has nothing to do with. And that's something that people know, just because you see Trump's name on a building doesn't mean that he owns it. But he's getting something. I'm pretty sure he's getting some kind of financial offer for the use of his name. But a lot of those buildings are named off those, taking his name down, because he's just an awful president. He's an awful person. And I'm bashing Trump, and I'm bashing what he is about, and what he's trying to do and want to do. And a lot of these things are just not kosher, and the lies that he's been caught up in, and he continues to lie. He's a pathological liar, like Bernie Sanders has said many times. He can't help himself but to lie. And he is being raked through right now. Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, is being raked through the coals on social media. I mean, this guy is, you almost feel sorry for him. But Trump doesn't feel sorry for, doesn't feel sorry for anybody, because Trump is going to hit back. He's coming back at you, Jack. He's going to say, hey, wow, if you don't like him, you don't like what he's doing, fuck off. That's Trump. That's Trump saying that, He's going to be president. And this guy is talking about running again for president. He's talking about, I think the first week that Trump became president, matter of fact, I know the first week that he became president, he was already talking about re-election 2020. He hasn't even gotten his feet yet, feet wet, if I can say it, before he just tells himself that he's going to run again. Well, he can run again all he wants, but I can tell you this. According to the American people, he will not win. He may not even make it. He may not even make it 4 years in his first term. Some people are banking on him not even making it a year. Some are saying 6 months, but some are saying bring in the handcuffs. But I would like to see Obama sue him. I would like to see that. But I don't know if Obama's going to do that. He's such a statesman. He's such above it all. He's such above the fray. Sometimes it doesn't pay to be above the fray. Sometimes you got to get down in the mud with these fools in order to let them know that you're not going to take it. I mean, this is not the first time that Trump has lied on Obama. He lied on Obama about Obama being born in the United States, remember? And he carried this birth thing all the way to the White House, because he lied about Obama, and a lot of his supporters believed it. And that comes to something else. A lot of Donald Trump supporters are kicking him to the curb, because they know that Donald Trump is going to kick them also to the curb with all these cuts, these cuts in his budgets to just about everything there is. He's cutting you. If you can think of it, that he's going to cut it, he's going to cut it or try to eliminate, because like I just got through saying, he needs money to build a wall. He's got to eliminate some programs, take money from here and put money over there. He needs to build a wall. And a lot of us are sick and tired of paying for Trump's vacations. He's a billionaire. Why do we have to pay for his vacations? The guy is in deep crap, folks. He is in, if you've watched the hearings this morning and you heard about the Russian investigation that's underway into his ties with Russia, his ties, the people around him, their ties in Russia, because this is clearly a lawbreaker. There's no doubt about Russia helped him to win this office. Russia helped him. I mean, if you remember that video from one of his rallies 6 or 7 months ago, Donald Trump stood there right in front of the television camera and told Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's emails And guess what? They did. So there's something there. There is something there. They're investigating and they're going to come up with something. This is why Donald Trump right now today is trying to change the narrative. He's trying to deflect, but I don't think it's going to work this time. He's trying to say, what are you doing? All of that stuff that you're doing, he's trying to say is useless. Pay attention to the wiretaps, to the not the wiretaps, but to the leaks in the White House. Anyway, this story is not over with this guy. It's constantly unfolding. And, you know, it's just horrible that this guy has put America through all of this. As you probably know, his second Muslim ban from certain countries has been denied again, and he's pissed off about that. And which I think is good. I think it's great. You know, it lets Trump know that he's not King Trump, that he's not Emperor Trump, that he's not a dictator, which he wants to be. He's not Hitler. Even I'm pretty sure that Hitler is probably his favorite person, the way he acts anyway, the way Donald Trump behaves. You know, people are saying it all over the place. That this is just something that's going to have to just, I don't know. It's a mess. It is a mess. The guy will not be able to govern. There's no doubt about it. Trump and just about all the people around him, just about everybody he appointed to some of these cabinet posts, these people know nothing about government. Nothing. Nothing. Not even Trump. He knows nothing about government. He's trying to learn as he goes through. But I've been hearing all kinds of things that are happening in the White House. Whenever something doesn't go Trump's way, he starts screaming and yelling. And, you know, of course, his minions and his yes men, you know, and his flunkies, they're not going to, you know, divulge that to the public. But credible reporters have said that Trump really, really screams and yells you know, and when something doesn't go his way. And I wouldn't want to work for this guy, believe me, especially being one of his yes men around the White House. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Again, I want to thank my guest, author Sunshine Sims, for doing an incredible job on this show. And like I said before, this show is all about making the world a better place. It is 7:07 p.m. straight up Chicago time, and it's dark now. It's dark outside now. It's even though it's daylight savings time, it's pretty dark, and it's not cold, and it's pretty good. All right, be kind to one another out there. It is so easy. Always try to do good for someone. You never know; someone may come along and do something good for you. It's all about being the best person you can be, doing something to better yourself, to better your life, having confidence in yourself, believing in yourself, being positive can go a long way. Exercise, diet, all of these things are vital for you to become somebody great. Become somebody great. And when you become somebody great, make sure you don't forget those who you left behind. That's a good thing. Never forget those people whom you've left behind. You never know. All right. Scarlett Johansson
is speaking right now here in Washington. I want to listen in.
And when the time came for STD and cancer screenings, no judgment, no questions asked, Planned Parenthood provided a safe place where I could be treated with gentle guidance. Now, I may have been 15 and surprisingly self-sufficient, but I'm sure there isn't one person here who has not been helped by Planned Parenthood directly or otherwise. When I knew I was coming to speak on behalf of women's reproductive and health issues, every single one of my girlfriends had a story about Planned Parenthood. They saved me so many times. One of my best girlfriends confided in me, saying, "They saved my ass and some other parts too." When I found out I had precancerous signs I never would have known about without my annual checkups, and her speech grew more emphatic and emotional as she described how the organization had helped her decide between treatment options. She was able to make some difficult decisions, deciding what was right for her body, and her then partner without anyone else's interference. My sister also used Planned Parenthood services for years after moving states. She'd been living her whole life in New York City, pursuing her dream to move to California. She had no contacts and no health insurance, but was able to regularly see a doctor at a Planned Parenthood clinic for screenings, advice, birth control, and checkups. For the more than 2.5 million patients a year that rely on Planned Parenthood services for cancer and STD screenings, birth control, safe abortion, and pregnancy planning, these are uncertain and anxious times. Lawmakers in 24 states have tried to block patients from receiving care at Planned Parenthood. Congress has voted to limit access to reproductive services 9 times. Boo! Yes, boo! There are very real and devastating consequences to limiting access to what should be considered basic health care. For millions of Americans, Planned Parenthood is often the only trustworthy and affordable clinic providing safe education, sex education, safe abortion, and life-saving services. President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister. Support my mother. Support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives. Support my daughter, who may actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards, and who may potentially not have the right to make choices for her body and her future that your daughter Ivanka has been privileged to have. I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things, including the fight to be recognized as individuals who know better for ourselves what is right for our bodies, better than any elected official, popular or otherwise. It is a great honor for me to be speaking here in front of all of you today. After the result of this November's election, I felt as a woman, as an American citizen, a great weight bearing down on my shoulders, the feeling that the near future would present many obstacles, confrontation, and division. My immediate thought after hearing the election results was, oh man, we have so much work to do. But once the heaviness began to subside, I realized that an opportunity has presented itself to make real long-term change, not just for future Americans, but in the way that we view our responsibilities to get involved with and stay active in our communities. Let this weight not drag you down, but help to get your heels stuck in. I pledge my relentless devotion to support women's health care initiatives. I will not stop fighting to make basic women's health care available to all. I believe with every fiber of my being that the conversations that we have with our partners and our doctors about what we do with our bodies and our future should not be made fodder for any politician, political agenda, lawmaker, and for-profit corporation. We must stand up for what are our basic human rights and always move forward, never backwards. The current political administration benefits from taking the power away from us. Don't give up your power. Don't let the feelings of helplessness make you complacent. I urge you all to make a difference on the ground. Volunteer. Volunteer with organizations that help women seeking a safe place to make some of the most difficult decisions of their lives. Donate to causes.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. Yeah, right. We have to take our country back. I mean, if you feel that we're under siege by a corrupt administration, and I do get people on the show from time to time, conservatives defending Trump, but today, after today's announcement that the guy is being investigated by the Justice Department, that he actually lied on Obama about wiretapping, I don't even want those people on my show anymore. You know, I mean, if you're going to try and defend him or lie for him or try to defend him on issues that aren't defensible, don't even come on. Don't even come on, because I don't want to hear it. You know, I mean, this guy is as corrupt as they come. The budget cuts are just harsh for seniors, old people, Meals on Wheels. This is crazy, you know, and taking that money and giving it to the rich or building a wall with it, you know, making this country less safe, weak, and stupid. You know, so this was it for me. I mean, I've always been, I tried to deal with Trump. I used to say, let's see what he can do first. Let him give him a chance to be president. But this guy, I mean, he doesn't know how to be a president. He don't know the first thing about being a president. He's still a businessman. He's trying to run America like it's a business, and he's failing at it. And it's approving, from my understanding, is 37%. It could be lower. You know, it could be 37%, and it could be lower. But there is no doubt about it. All right, Trump said he has no business in Russia. This Russian just said he did. You know, I mean, Trump is lying again. He's lying again. And he should stop lying. He's got businesses in Russia. He's got businesses that he has not issued a travel ban for. You know? It's just crazy. This guy is just, he's not it. What can I say, folks? He's not it. And I hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to be on 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. longer if not if nothing happens. And we're on 4 days a week, as you probably know already. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, downloading the show, podcasting the show, giving us your feedback, whether it's positive or negative. We always take stuff like that and learn from it. Well, you know, so thanks a bit. You can always find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook all the time. You can also find my writings on Amazon, George Wilder Jr. I write both fiction and nonfiction, but yet I've been leaning towards fiction for some reason. But just like I was talking to Sunshine Sims, just because you're writing fiction doesn't mean that you can't add a level of truth in what you're writing, even though it's fiction, you know, because a lot of my fiction stuff you can learn, even though it might be a little crazy, but you can learn from some of the things in there. And that's what it's all about, making the world a better place. So you can always find me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Google. I'm all over the place. Amazon.com, you can find me there, George Wilder Jr. You know, like I said before, I do write in both genres, fiction and nonfiction. But, you know, I like fiction better. Fiction is more fun. You know, because you can just make stuff up, you know, as long as you know what you're doing as a writer, you can make stuff up and either be a great entertainer or just, you know, find yourself fun with what you do, which is what I do. I like to have fun. I have fun writing fiction. I don't have fun writing because nonfiction is basically something that's true. Fiction is something that you just make up. I've said this years ago. When I do fiction, I can be any character I want. I can be, you know, just the guy out here on the street. You know, I can be any character I want, as long as the story encompasses characters are real. That's one of the things. I have so much fun writing that if you picked up a book or something, you would probably say to yourself, reading a few pages, wow, this guy's having a lot of fun. He's having fun with this. That's all it is, folks. That's all it is. When I write, I just have to have fun with it, because if you have fun, you're going to have a great time when you be entertained. So that's how I do it. I try my best, my damnedest, to have fun with what I'm doing. I'm on something right now, and I'm having fun with it. I thought I was going to be stuck. I thought I was going to have writer's block or something, but the story is just flowing, you know? And people say, George, you really crank that stuff out, don't you? And I have to say, I probably do. That's because I love to write. I love writing. I mean, it's just the pinnacle of what I do. I love writing. I love being on the radio, the internet radio show. You know, so I just love what I do, and it's great, and it feels good when you love what you do. And I don't see how so many people can get up, shower, get dressed, and leave out the door every day and go to a job that they hate. I just don't understand that. Go to a job that you hate, you know, and that's not living. You're miserable if you have to go to a job you hate. You don't like your supervisor. You can't stand the manager. They're picking on you. They are taking your ideas and not giving you credit for them. You know, you're being pushed around. You're being bullied, and you know, your coworkers are backbiting. They're telling the supervisor on you every chance they get. You don't like what you're doing, you know, whatever. I mean, you have to change that situation. That's a situation that you have to change. Nobody can change that but you. You know, so do something you enjoy. I'm doing something I enjoy. You know, I really enjoy this. I mean, if I wasn't making any money at it, in some cases I'm not, but I would still be doing it. And do what you like, do what you love, do what Do what makes you happy. You know, so that's about it.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw.
All right, thanks for tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show. I do hope you podcast the show once it's over and listen to the show anytime during your convenience. And that's what's great about listening to podcasts. You can listen to them anytime at your own convenience. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're out of here, folks. Join us tomorrow. Bye-bye.